This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica stations. British Prime Minister Theresa May has invoked Article 50, the law that triggers Britain's exit from the European Union. The move came months after a contentious referendum that made international news and shocked Europe. Many saw the so-called Brexit vote as a referendum on austerity, but also on migrants and refugees. Britain's forced and often violent deportations of undocumented people has drawn the ire of human rights groups. Well, late last week, more than a dozen activists from a number of organizations took direct action to stop a plane at Stansted Airport that was carrying migrants. The activists chained themselves to the wheel of the plane, which was bound for Ghana and Nigeria. The dramatic action underscores the polarization of the British public over the presence of refugees and migrants against the backdrop of Brexit. My guest is Lily May. She's a collective member of the group End Deportations. Welcome to the program, Lily.
Thanks.
So first, let's talk about the action before we get into the broader story of what's happening in Britain. Your organization, End Deportations, was one of three groups that participated in this action late last week. Tell us specifically who was involved and describe what played out.
So, yeah, there were three groups involved. One was called Plain Stupid. The others, Lesbian and Gay Support the Migrants. And then the third one is End Deportations. And it was a group of 14 people who had been in touch with people in detention facing deportation and were going to be deported to Nigeria and Ghana on a mass deportation flight. They went to the airport, to Stansted Airport, just a few hours from London, where the private flight was leaving from, and they locked themselves to various parts of the plane. In an attempt to stop the deportation from taking place, which worked. It did stop, but the flight left 2 days later, but with a lot less people on it.
I want to play a video that was taken at the action. This is a video that the Guardian newspaper has posted on its website, and I'm assuming one of your activist members took this video of a number of you that were basically on the ground chained to one another.
No borders, no nations, stop deportations. No borders, no nations, stop deportations.
Titan Airways!
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
Titan Airways!
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
That's the stairs being packed away now. We've just seen the crew leaving the aeroplane, and it looks to me like this flight is not going to be going anywhere tonight, we hope. And we hope that that will be enough time for some of the cases who are still in progress to get done. I've got to go.
And you've been watching and hearing the audio from a short video that was taken at Stansted Airport late last week when a number of activists from three different organizations stopped a plane from taking off. Lily, were you one of those on the ground?
No, I wasn't there at the time.
Now,
there was a group of us doing media at the same time.
So this group of activists, what has motivated you to take these actions? I understand that there have been a number of incidents in Britain that have been very, very troubling, including cases where people died in the process of being deported. Can you give us the reason why this has become such an issue for you? Mm-hmm.
I mean, charter flights or mass deportations have been going on for the last 16 years, since 2001. It wasn't until 2011, 10 years later, that actually independent inspectors started being on board these flights to actually monitor them. And if you read the reports, they're very troubling. You know, there's double the number of escorts. Really, really extreme restraints are used, you know, similar to the ones that killed Jimmy Mbenga, which was.
And tell us about Jimmy Mbenga's case. Who was he and what happened to him?
So Jimmy Mbenga was a man who had been living in the UK for quite a long time. His family was here, his partner was here, and he was facing deportation to Angola. He was put on a flight, you know, like a normal commercial flight with people who are going on holiday, who are traveling for work. And he was restrained in the back of the aeroplane by G4S guards. G4S, the same company who run prisons in Israel, who run prisons here and are really, really notorious for their violent behavior that often kills. And they were restraining him. Multiple passengers around the flight on the plane heard him say he couldn't breathe, that he was really scared for his life, and they kept restraining him, and he actually died. Later in court, the two guards, the G4S guards, were actually acquitted of murder, despite the judge knowing that there were racist texts on their phones, and it was found like very, very racist texts on their phones, and yet they were still acquitted, even though, you know, obviously they were racist and they did see him as someone whose life was not as valuable, essentially.
So his case has highlighted the violence of these deportations. What are some of the circumstances that some of these folks like Jimmy are in? What is the impact on their communities? I understand that a lot of people who are deported are LGBT or identify as LGBT from the LGBT community, and are not able to remain with their loved ones in Britain?
Yeah, I mean, there was someone facing deportation at the start of this month to Jamaica who had lived here for over 25 years. Her whole family was here. And it's a really, really common case that it's people who've been here for a long time. You know, they have families here. They come from countries that were colonized by Britain when, like, it was their ancestors coming to Britain when the UK was actively encouraging immigration to rebuild the country after World War II. So it's people with really long community histories and ties to the UK. And yeah, like you said, with LGBT people, a lot of people are facing that, and they're actually going back to countries where they face persecution, death, torture for their sexuality, and even seen through the laws that were actually created by like colonizers such as the British state. You know, it was the British state who introduced anti-gay laws in a lot of countries in which people now face deportation to and fear for their lives.
So just as we have seen here in the United States, there is the state coming down hard on undocumented folks with violently ripping apart families and communities. And then you also have increased abuses and hate crimes happening. I understand there was just a case in Britain with an Iranian Kurdish teenager who was horribly beaten up. He was an asylum seeker, and he's just barely survived his attack. Do you see what's happening with deportations and these sorts of hate crimes, seeming hate crimes, as part of a broader pattern happening and playing out in Britain?
I mean, for sure. Back when, you know, Theresa May is prime minister now, but before she was head of the Home Office, the department in charge of immigration. And it was her who actually self-declared that she would, and the government would, create what they called a hostile environment for basically anybody in Britain who doesn't have a British passport. You can have refugee status in the UK, but if you are convicted for something, whether it be having a bit of cannabis on you or shoplifting, you know, some clothes or food, like, that refugee status can be revoked. So in a way, you're never really, you know, safe unless you have a British passport. And this is all part of this hostile environment, you know, denying healthcare to pregnant women who are undocumented, making parents declare their nationality and bring their passports to schools for their kids. They're all part of the same way the state is creating an environment that is unfriendly and also and also creating these everyday borders. You know, you go to university and you're not British by the state's definition. You have to go and sign every few weeks to show that you're going to class, that that's why you're here. And it's just seeing how the government is getting everyday people, you know, landlords, doctors, teachers, to act as agents of the state, essentially, to maintain immigration controls.
And did you see the Brexit vote that took place last year, which is now being implemented as this sort of, in addition to, you know, a kind of reactionary response to austerity, also a referendum on immigration and on people feeling like non-British folks and non-whites are not welcome in Britain anymore?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess in a way it's an extension. The government's been doing this and, you know, practicing these really brutal tactics to non-EU migrants for a very long time, and now it's extending it to people from EU countries as well. I think it's, you know, two fingers of the same hand, essentially.
What are the parallels that you see between what's happening in Britain and what's happening here in the United States?
I guess, I mean, they're very different countries, I think. And I mean, it's difficult to, it can be difficult to draw parallels because there's so much different, there's so much difference going on in terms of things that are being enacted and also the resistance that's being shown. But I think it's always very inspiring for people here to see like actions against deportations going on in the US. And what we really wanted to say, you know, is that whilst the world is looking at the US and looking at the ban on countries or for people to come from certain countries, you know, the UK is also enacting really violent, vicious borders, but it's not held accountable in the same way, which yeah, is really something that needs to be highlighted.
So you think that the US's crackdown on immigrants is actually getting more attention than what's happening in the UK?
Yeah, I mean, when the ban came about in the US, I mean, here it was...
You're talking about the Muslim ban, the travel ban,
yeah,
and so-called Muslim
ban?
Yeah,
the Muslim travel ban in the US. There were protests in the UK in every city around the UK. I mean, wow. Thousands and thousands of people going out, and, you know, everyone was in this state of like, I can't believe this is happening. This is so messed up. And it's really, really, really messed up. But it's somehow easier, I think, sometimes for people to focus on what's happening in another place, because you can kind of be really critical of it, but you have no power to change it, you know, because you're not living in that country. But people tended to kind of focus on what was happening in the US and then turn a blind eye to the same stuff essentially happening here, you know. Those countries that were banned, that were on the Muslim ban list, you know, it's really difficult to actually come to the UK and live here from those countries anyway, to be able to be issued a visa, to be able to regularize your stay. So in a way, those mechanisms are already happening. I think they're just not called an outright ban, because they know that that would, a lot of people would get really angry about that.
So it's sort of happening under the radar.
Yeah.
What, I mean, we saw the scenes of protests during the, right before and even right after the Brexit vote, and some of the anti-immigrant signs. We see some of the sort of vicious rhetoric even across Europe. But I think it's important for us to also emphasize that there are people like you. There is a strong movement in Britain, even if not all of them are as active as you, there is a strong sense in Britain that a multicultural society is good for all British people, right? I mean, what about the pro-immigrant strains in the country?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But that's always something I really attribute to the US as well. I feel like I see a lot of resistance happening over there, but here for sure. And, you know, doing this action, there were actually so many messages of support and people saying, how can I get involved? And that was really, really important to see. And I think we are living in times where it's increasingly depressing, essentially, to watch the news, to hear what's happening. But I also think there's a lot of resistance going on by people who are like directly affected and who are like whether resisting their own deportation or other parts of like the immigration system, and then also people who are not directly affected but are seeing it and saying, I think this is really wrong, I think this shouldn't happen, I'm gonna get involved. And I think maybe this is just gonna become more and more polarized as time goes on.
Earlier, you said that the plane that your organization and other activists stopped from departing last week did eventually take off 2 days later, but with fewer people. What sort of impact has that dramatic direct action that your fellow activists took? What impact has it had in Britain? Has it served to draw greater attention, as much as you might have hoped, to what's happening with these violent deportations? And will there be future such actions?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely served, you know, like the main reason was that, you know, people, these are real people's lives and they're being deported, and we wanted to stop that from happening. And some people did get off the next flight and weren't deported as a result, and maybe have already put in legal challenges, which is really important. Another thing was to raise awareness. Now, the Daily Mail is never going to write something positive about an action like that, but I think it's about reaching people, you know, individuals who see what's happening, who didn't know this existed before, because they are incredibly secret, and very few people actually know that they take place. So that was a really important thing. And I feel like definitely there's a lot more solidarity going on since then in terms of people discussing this topic. And then, you know, the aim of the group is to end mass deportation. So we will continue to keep fighting mass deportations essentially until they're stopped.
And it's a small group of activists, right, that are involved in this. I mean, perhaps you'll have a greater number joining you for future actions, because sometimes it takes being inspired by just one small victory to do more.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people that got in touch even saying, like, I'm willing to put my body on the line, which is really incredible to hear, because that's a really important element. And obviously right now in Britain, there's only, you know, like, you can only do that really if you're British, because if you're from a non-EU country or you're from an EU country, like, you face deportation for doing something like that and for being convicted.
So you can use the privilege of your passport or birth certificate to do
which
these actions.
Is really, really important.
Give out a website or a Facebook page. Where can people find out more about the work that your group does?
Yeah, so people can find more at www.enddeportations.wordpress.com. And there's also a Facebook group called #StopCharterFlights.
We'll post those links on our website later today. Lily, good luck to you and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
My guest is Lily May. She's a collective member with End Deportations. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.